Today's scripture lesson is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land and into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kathy. And I don't know if you all have noticed, but there's a lot more people in the choir this morning. Isn't that great? So, yeah. So, we're going to be going off the edges before too long. So, this morning we are taking a different journey as we move into August. And during this month of August, we're going to be looking at what it means to be in the wilderness. Because right now it feels like we are in the wilderness as we are somewhat coming out of the pandemic. And so today we are beginning some time in Exodus with some passages that are familiar to you, but looking at them from the perspective of what it means to be the pandemic church or the church in the post-pandemic time. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this morning and open our hearts to its hearing and to its receiving. Amen. When you hear the word wilderness, what comes to mind? Some of you might envision scenes like you have been seeing on the screen, the desert. Sometimes places that are filled with rocks that are huge and just kind of mind-boggling. The hoodoos, if you know what I'm talking about, that you have seen in the desert southwest, and those rocks that have just like a pinnacle with this huge boulder sitting on top, the kind that used to come off and land on the coyote when it was after the Roadrunner. Or you might think of a deeply forested wilderness that when you're in the midst of it, you feel like the trees are just encroaching upon you and making you, closing you in. Whatever the type of forest or the type of wilderness is that you see, whether it be barren or seemingly never ending, it is still a place that is foreboding. We find it to be inhospitable. We find it to be frightening. And we find it to be a place that if not careful, we can easily lose our bearings and our sense of direction. And when that happens, then we find ourselves wandering around in that wilderness aimlessly. As I mentioned, in many ways, it seems like right now we have entered a wilderness time, a place of wilderness. For 2 years, we were basically slaves to a virus. We were held hostage in our own homes. We couldn't go to work. We couldn't go to school. We couldn't come to worship, to church. If we went to the grocery store, we were afraid, and so many of us may have shopped online and either had things delivered or at least we picked them up curbside when we went. Same thing if we decided that we wanted to eat out, and many of us did that so we could support and keep our local businesses afloat. But it is a time that we are now coming into this unknown, this what do we do next? We feel like we have escaped, but then we're not really sure where we are. The world isn't the same as we once knew it. It is very different. Like the wilderness, it is inhospitable. We are still unsure whether to mask or to unmask. So some of you wear your mask, and you might wear your mask in some places, but not other places. We wonder, can we unmask? We're just not sure. The supply chain is still an issue. You go into some of the stores and there are shelves that are still empty of items that are needed. There is still a supply chain issue with baby formula, for instance. And so there's things that we can't get that we used to be able to get. And if we can get them, the prices are much higher. And so we have to pay more when we check out. It's a frightening time because violence has risen exponentially. You cannot turn on the TV or look at the newspaper or listen to the news in your car or see it on your phone and not hear about some type of tragic violence that has occurred. Usually these days a mass shooting. It seems like every time we turn around there has been another shooting. Mental illness itself has become almost pandemic. And then it is that place where we have lost our bearings. The one place that we used to come to help us stay grounded, to be centered, the church, is also struggling with what to do. How do we move forward in this time? Who are we post-pandemically? We're asking ourselves, why must we be stuck in this wilderness? Why do we have to go through this? Why isn't life as we knew it possible? Because life as we knew it was so good, or at least we think it was so good. How do we get out of this God-forsaken place? How do we get out of this God-forsaken place? But is the wilderness really as God-forsaken as we think it is? Is it possible that something good can come out of a wilderness time? Isn't it possible that something good can come from us spending time in this time of limbo, of unknowing? Whether escaping into the wilderness on one's own accord or being compelled or forced into the wilderness figures prominently for the lives of people in Scripture. Abraham, Hagar, Jacob, David, Elijah, even Jesus spent time in the wilderness. And of course, one of the most famous that we know of is who we have heard of today, Moses. And then with him, the Israelites. In our passage today, Moses is tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. You may recall that he was born into a time when the Hebrews were enslaved and Pharaoh had wanted to have all of the children under the age of two, all of the boys under the age of two killed. And so his sister and his mother packed him away in a basket and put him in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him and took him out of the river and raised him as her own. So Moses was raised as an Egyptian, but yet he knew his Hebrew roots. And then one day when he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, Moses took matters into his own hands and killed the Egyptian. And because of that, he's had to flee for his own life. He's married into a Midianite family, Jethro being the priest, coming to the rescue of Jethro's daughters. And today we meet Moses as he is tending the flock of Jethro. And that first verse tells us that while he was doing so, he went off into the wilderness, to the other side of the wilderness, to the mountain of God, to Horeb. Moses has withdrawn from all that is going on around him in the community, and I imagine with a bunch of daughters in Jethro's family, a lot of chitter and chatter going on as well. Moses has withdrawn from the other shepherds. Moses has withdrawn into this place of solitude, the wilderness, to the mountain of God. And while there, Moses has an extraordinary experience. He encounters God for the first time. And he encounters God in an unusual way. Moses sees a bush burning, but yet it's not burning. There's flames, but the bush is not burning up. It is still very much alive. And when God notices that Moses sees it, lo and behold, God speaks from within that bush. God speaks. And he tells Moses, take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. It was on this holy ground in this wilderness place that Moses encountered God for the first time. And on this holy ground in this wilderness place that Moses heard God for the first time. And heard God call him to return to Egypt, to lead his people out of slavery and into the promised land. It was in this inhospitable, this frightening and chaotic place that God chose to speak. Not a place that we would think, but a place that God chose specifically to speak to Moses. And just as God's word at creation brought order from the chaos, God's word to Moses would bring order to the chaos of his people as they were led out of Egypt to freedom. The wilderness in Scripture was not just a place where one entered into the presence of God, but more importantly, it was a place that people went to hear the voice of God. It was where they could hear God speak. Whether it be from a burning bush like with Moses or in a still small voice like with Elijah, it was distinctively the voice of God speaking personally and giving direction to the one who heard. Have you had a wilderness experience? I had a wilderness experience. It wasn't anything like hiking the Appalachian Trail or anything of that nature. I didn't go into the wilderness and camp out for a number of days. But when I graduated from graduate school the first time, I did 2 graduate degrees. My first experience, I went to New Mexico to work at a church. A group of the students and I had been able to attend a conference, the Christian Educators Fellowship Conference in Glorieta, New Mexico, which is just north of Santa Fe. And while I was there, I became enchanted with the land of enchantment. Imagine that. And so when I came back, I began thinking about, and all of us at that point were thinking about, where did we want to find a place to work? There was a pastor from Artesia, New Mexico, who came to the school and was looking for someone to come and to serve on staff as a Christian education director. So I thought, New Mexico, I've been there. First time I'd ever been out of the Southeast, and I think only the second or third time I've been out of Alabama and Tennessee. And so I thought, I think I'll talk to him. And so the next thing I know, I was on a plane, headed out for an interview. I was hired, and then the next thing I know, I was loading up just one U-Haul at that point, traveling to New Mexico, 1,800 miles from home, with mom and dad helping me get there. It was okay for a while. You know, that kind of the novelty kind of thing. But it wasn't long before the newness and the adventure part of it wore off. And I became very homesick. I wanted to be back home near my family. I wanted to be back where there were many colors in the fall. We didn't have that there. I wanted to be back where there was no longer sugar in the biscuits or the cornbread, but there was sugar in the tea. In fact, while there, we took a group of students to, is it McMurray College? I can't remember, the Methodist college there in Texas, because some of them were considering where they might go to college. And we went to the local mall, and there was a Chick-fil-A, and they had sweet tea. And I promise you, I ran through the mall yelling, "They have sweet tea!" I was so excited. But my day off, like it is here, was Friday. And so I began kind of getting in my car, and sometimes I would drive to Roswell or to Carlsbad. Roswell was just north of Artesia, and about 35 miles in Carlsbad, just south of us. And so I might go to the mall in Roswell, or I might take just a drive out into the desert. And it didn't take but about 5 minutes to get out into the desert from the town. But the desert there wasn't like the desert in Santa Fe. No gorgeous, beautiful rock formations. It was flat. Flat as a pancake. And nothing but scruffy cactus and yucca plants and just desolate. It was really desolate. And I began to do something while I drove. I began to fuss at God. You ever done that? You ever had an argument with God? Well, I did. I kept telling God how much I didn't like being there. Kept asking God, "Why have you put me here?" And then kept begging God, "Please take me home." Home being the South, not that home. "Please take me home." And so I did this week after week after week. I would just let God have it between both eyes with both barrels. But I was getting nowhere. Finally, one day, I decided to just make the drive in silence. I didn't have a cassette player in my car, so that tells you something about the time period. Also, once you got out of town, the radio didn't play. And so there was no other noise to be had. And so I just began driving in silence. And I noticed something after a few weeks, that the more I spent time driving in silence, the calmer I became, and the more at peace I became. God's peace began to enter into me. It didn't solve my situation immediately, but eventually I was able to return back to Alabama, and then eventually have wound up here in second home of East Tennessee. But I dare say that that may have been some of the most productive time of my life. Not because of anything I did, but because of what God did. God used that time to teach me how to hear Him speak to me. And I'm convinced that had I not had that time then, I may never have heard God's voice calling me to pastoral ministry later through those colleagues that encouraged me in the ministry. What might happen, friends, if we as a church began to look at this time in the wilderness for what it could be, that holy ground, a place not to be filled with what once was, but a place to be still so that we can hear God speak of what can be? What might happen if instead of trying to escape it, we embraced it and willingly went to the other side of the wilderness, to the mountain of God, where God is waiting to meet us? What might happen if we quietened our minds and our hearts, the noise around us, much of it created by our own wishes and desires, and tuned our ears to the voice of God when God speaks of His desires for us? In an article, "The Meaning of Wilderness in the Homiletic and Pastoral Review," Juliana Weber writes, "It is possible to surround oneself with a constant barrage of noise in the form of entertainment and news, utterly preventing the kind of quiet recollection necessary to hearing God, as it occurs in every quiet, isolated wilderness experience. All forms of instant distraction can preclude time to reflect. It is essential that we be aware of the challenges of our society. Boy, aren't we aware of them now. And the ways that we cleverly avoid the wilderness in order that we do not miss out entirely such an experience. She then goes on to quote B.B. Taylor, who said, "As much as we might prefer to avoid it, the wilderness is where God is." The wilderness is where God is. The wilderness is where God does some of God's best work. The wilderness is where God is, where God does some of God's best work. And that work may not look like what we want it to look like. That work is simply, most often, teaching us how to hear so that we can follow God's voice when He calls and leads. What kind of work might God do in our wilderness? Weber also writes that wilderness experiences can be a time of transformation resulting from the quiet where there is room for God to speak. In Scripture, it would appear that He always takes advantages of these situations, transforming us by way of drawing us into relationship with Him. Thus, the work of God does in the wilderness act transformatively, beginning with teaching us to hear God's voice. In today's world of overstimulation, we have to relearn how to be silent. Many of you have mentioned how you have appreciated the brief silence that we have begun at the start of our worship services. When I was in seminary at Candler School of Theology, my pastoral care professor, the first day of class, he said, "Every class period, we will begin the day with 5 minutes of silence." And of course, when we all first heard that, we groaned, "Oh gosh," because 5 minutes seemed like an eternity. But it wasn't long that we wished it were 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Not because we didn't like hearing him lecture, because he was a wonderful teacher, but because we realized how important that silence was to hearing the voice of God. Also, silence involved is silencing our minds so that we are not distracted by mindless chatter. Mindfulness practices and centering and contemplative prayer have garnered more support and practice lately because people realize how important it is to have those moments of silence in their lives. In one of the churches I served, there was a young girl, and I don't think she was even first grade. I think she may have still been kindergarten age. But one Sunday in the children's time, for some reason I asked the question that really was not probably a good one for children. I asked, "What is contemplative prayer? Does anybody know?" Most of them probably don't even know what contemplative means. But this one girl, boy, she caught me up short. She said, "I know." And I said, "What?" She said, "It's when you go out into the woods and you get real still and you get real quiet. And then before long, you just hear God speak to you in your heart." I couldn't say anything after that because nothing needed to be said. She knew, even at that age, how important that silence was to hear God. And one of the beauties about learning to hear God in the silence is that when we do, we're also able to then hear God in the noise. You hear that? When we can hear God in the silence, we're then also able to hear God in the noise. How many of you, when you hear a siren going down the street, hear that as a call by God to pray? To pray for whoever is in that ambulance or the emergency workers that are tending to them or the doctors and nurses that will be when they arrive to the hospital and the family that's wondering what's going on. or when we watch the news or read the paper or look at the news on our phone and we learn of a disaster or, heaven forbid, another shooting, we see that also as an opportunity to not just pray, but to act in some way. Either to go and to offer ourselves in support and service or to do like we have recently done, to raise money to provide help in those times of need. And so when we hear God in silence, God also teaches us to hear him in the noise. Like I said, I don't think I would have been able to hear God speak to me the calling to pastoral ministry that came from people around me had I not first learned to hear God in the quiet in the wilderness. So friends, what might God be trying to speak to us today? Where in this wilderness limbo is God's voice calling to us? We are getting ready to share in the service of Holy Communion. As a part of our liturgy, we hear these words and say these words each time we break bread. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world, that we may be for the world, the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world, the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Friends, I invite you to consider this wilderness that we're now in, not as a waste of time. It is not idle time. But to see it as holy ground. Holy ground. Fertile ground for hearing God's voice as he speaks to us of what it means to be the body of Christ in a world that has forever changed by what we have all experienced. Let us go to the other side of the wilderness, to the mountain of God, and there silently wait for God to speak in faith that God will speak, and in speaking will reveal his plans for us. Let us pray. Oh God, many of us don't like the wilderness because many of us don't like silence. We would much rather have your voice sometimes drowned out by the noises around us or by our own noise. But you so want us to hear you because what you have for us, what you are calling us to be, is so much better and grander and greater than what we can imagine for ourselves. And sometimes that scares us as well, because newness is not always something we welcome either. But today we commit ourselves to using this wilderness time to learn to hear you, because we know you are speaking to us. Again, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, that we indeed might hear you and might follow. Amen.